Thanks a million, Shane.
It's the Ray Dasha Show on RTE Radio 1. Have a great summer.
Yes, good afternoon. Happy Friday. We have made it to the weekend, lads. Hope it is a good one for you. 51551 or ray at rte.ie if you want to join in the chat today about anything that we talk about on the show. I've been keeping a close eye on the weather. I'm heading west this evening and it's not looking too good here in Dublin. Listening to the forecast there, I know there's a lot of rain, but let me know if the sunshine is basking in all its glory in Blacksod Bay, County Mayo. Yeah, let me know what you've got planned. Maybe you're heading away this weekend, or I know for a lot of families, it's the last week before kids go back to school. So you might be heading off finally on the long awaited staycation. And there's a lot you have to get organised before you go away on holidays, isn't there? I mean, apart from the packing, which nowadays I find sort of the easy bit, but you've got to get the work all finished and somebody organised to feed the cat and look after the dog or take the wash out of the machine before you go, clean out the fridge, all those things. And we spotted a tweet from Rebecca, whose mother went the extra mile to make sure that her husband was going to be well looked after at home while she went off on holiday. And Rebecca tweeted a pic of the family kitchen fridge, and the entire vegetable drawer at the bottom of the fridge is stuffed with cooked potatoes, to make sure her dad was sorted and wouldn't be phoning and giving out while she was away. I just thought that's dedication to the cause. Clever as well. Clever. It got us chatting then upstairs about the things that we all do before we leave for holidays. I mean, every house and every family has their little bits and pieces that they get organised. My big tip, and I have been doing this for years, put the clean sheets on the bed before you go. There is nothing like coming in the door with all the smelly washing and the tiredness and the car is in a hoop, but you can get into your bed, fresh sheets. I'm telling you, it's life changing. So 51551 or ray at rte.ie if you have the going away tips. Leaving the dishwasher empty, that was one that the lads here on the team was saying. Having experienced going away, he was saying, completely forgetting about the full dirty dishwasher, went away for a week and the smell that met them at the front door on the way back. Unforgettable. So, but easily done, you know, easily done. You're in a rush to get out. And actually, speaking of dishwashers, I'm looking at a tweet here from Lee Beatty, who had me laughing out loud. He posted a pic of the worst stacked dishwasher, I have to say, I've ever seen. And I think I've been on here before giving out about, it's a bone of contention in our house, how the dishwasher is packed or stacked, should I say. But anyway, he's posted this picture and it is so bad. It was done by his wife. And underneath the picture, his message simply said, "I married her before I ever saw her stack a dishwasher. I can't take this anymore." Now, when I say the pans and the plates and the bowls are all over the place, I cannot express to you what an understatement the word haphazard is. As I said, in our house, it's where did the plates go? I cannot understand for the life of me people who put the big plates in the front of the dishwasher when everybody knows they need to go in the back. I mean, really. So let us know the dishwasher rules in your house, or maybe you're one of those kitchen controllers who comes in and does an entire reshuffle. That's me when everything is in the wrong spot. 51551 or ray at rte.ie. The text coming in here, wet and overcast and cold in Mayo, says Danny. Right, well, that's something to look forward to on the drive across. Okay, well, a good news story that caught our eye today, all the way from down under. And any parents of young kids out there will know the Wiggles. They're the all singing, all dancing Australian kids entertainers, and they do great little videos online and they have songs and all that. Anyway, they can now be known as lifesavers because there's a gorgeous story that's gone viral down in Australia today. 22-year-old Sarah Kelly, she was in intensive care on a ventilator because her oxygen levels had dropped so drastically. She has Down syndrome. She contracted COVID in July. She was taken into hospital in Melbourne and they couldn't get her to use her oxygen tubes because she was just terrified of them. So the only way they could get her to take oxygen was through a straw. So she was having trouble. Anyway, her intensive care nurse asked the Wiggles to record this personalised video for her, explaining how to use oxygen tubes, which they did with Dorothy the dinosaur, and all of them were wearing their masks and their ICU equipment and their oxygen tubes. And while they were doing this video, she slipped into a coma. Thankfully, she woke up from the coma, and the first thing they did was put on this video for her. And straight away then they were able to get her tubes on and get her breathing properly, and she did made a full recovery. It's just, again, I just thought it was a gorgeous story of dedication of staff like that and thinking outside the box. Anyway, that's, as I said, lifted everybody's spirits right across Australia, which was good to hear. Now, a good news story closer to home. A very happy ending for a dog who'd fallen over a 30 metre cliff southwest of Dunmore East in County Waterford. Ellie, the dog, was successfully rescued by the RNLI yesterday afternoon. She'd been out walking with her owners, and Neville Murphy, RNLI crew member in Dunmore East, was one of those involved in little Ellie's rescue. He's on the line now. How you doing, Neville?
Hi, Catherine. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank God. Good. Fine. So what happened and how was she rescued?
Yeah, we got a call. Our bleepers went about 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon. It was a lovely sunny afternoon as opposed to today, unfortunately. Yeah. So there was the family out walking on a beautiful cliff walk down here in Dunmore East. And their little dog, Ellie, a little Bichon Frise, decided to chase a butterfly. Ended up going straight over the edge of a cliff. The cliff was about 30 metres high, so it's a fairly substantial cliff. So the family lost visual of the dog, so they weren't sure.
Whether she'd gone into the sea or...
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you think the worst, really, especially with a kind of a height like that. So our bleepers went, and we were told this story of the dog, and we just motored a boat around the coastline, and our coxswain, Roy Abrahamson, spotted the family waving at us, and we then noticed the dog at the bottom of the cliff. So we launched what we call our XP boat. It's like our daughter boat. It's a little inflatable, as opposed to our Trent class lifeboat. And the inflatable, our crew members, David and Luca, went in to the shoreline, into the shallow water near the rocks. And there was little Ellie, and she just curled up in a ball, shivering with the cold. So we think she actually went into the water, which probably, you know, saved her life. And she managed to get up on the rocks, so fair play to her.
Oh, gosh. And so she's a little, I'm looking at a photograph of her here, and there's a video online that people can see of the rescue as well. She's a little Bichon Frise.
Yeah, lovely little dog. Now,
and she looks
and Luca,
young. It's like she looks like a little. Is she a puppy?
She's very small. Yeah, I don't think she's a puppy, but a pretty young dog, but full of energy. And the minute Luke got a hold to her on the cliff there, you know, the tail started wagging straight away.
Oh, for God's sake!
You know, real happy story, and the lads brought her back out onto our big boat then. We wrapped her up in a blanket, gave her a drink of water, and we met the family back in Dunmore East.
How was the reunion? I'd say they were beside themselves.
They were. I mean, I think they expected the worst, you know, for a kind of a fall. But they were absolutely delighted and so grateful and thankful. You know, they ran down to meet us with a big blanket ready for Ellie, and I think they were going to take her off to the vet just to have a look, just in case. You know,
was she injured at all, Neville? I mean, falling over a 30-metre cliff, that's... pretty staggering.
Yeah, we were kind of surprised at that now as well, to be honest.
She didn't have any huge injuries?
Absolutely none. Tail wagging, big. She was licking our faces on the way back, literally. And just happy to be, you know, to be out of that situation. I think she was a bit traumatised initially, but by the time we got back, she was walking around the deck of the boat, happy out.
Wow. And again, you know, it's probably a good message that, because I'd say with that happens probably more often than we would realise, dogs swimming out too far or going over a cliff. And I suppose the your first initial reaction would be to try and help yourself. But this was the right call to call you guys, really.
100%. I mean, too often we hear of, you know, owners of dogs trying to go down along the cliff or into the water themselves. And that's something we'd say not to do, really. Mm. You know, don't hesitate in calling us. Dial 112 or 999 and ask for the Coast Guard. We're only too happy. The RNLI is a charity. We're all volunteers. And, we're only delighted to go out and help, especially for a lovely little dog like Ellie. But the last thing we want is people themselves going over the cliff and getting into difficulty themselves, just make the call and don't be afraid to make the call.
And it's a great message from you guys as well. You do incredible work, and dogs are part of people's families. That's what you do. You rescue whether it's dogs or humans, and do it in the right way with all the training that you have. Neville, fair play, and it's as I said, it's a good news story on a Friday for little Ellie.
Absolutely. We're all delighted. We're getting that Friday feeling. Thanks very much, Kathy.
Well done, Neville. Great work, as I said. All right. I think it feels like a Friday for Mumford & Sons. Mumford & Sons there. I will wait. Lots of texts coming in. Oh, my God. The dishwasher controllers. A bit like myself. Sonia says, Jordan says, no one in our house is allowed to go near the dishwasher. Any plates and cutlery must be left in the sink or on the draining board, as my mother cannot cope with anyone else packing it, as she has a meltdown. Mind you, we're all in our 20s and our dad is in his 50s, and the dishwasher is treated like the Holy Grail. My entire family load the empty dishwasher from the back or from the front backwards haphazardly. It drives me crazy. As when you come along with more dishes, you have to do a balancing act, pulling out the trays already overloaded to the front. Can't for the life of me understand why they do it this way, no matter how much I tell them to change. It never does. And then we were talking about tips and tricks when you're going away. Bridget said, put bicarbonate of soda on the bottom of the dishwasher. Leave the door open. Also leave a glass of water with soda bicarbonate in the fridge. All will be fresh when you get back. There you go. I think all women are the dishwasher reshufflers, says Maria. I fix the dishwasher constantly in this house with three kids and a husband. Stack from the back, says Eileen. Stack from the back. That's the number one rule. Anyway, keep them coming in. 51551. Now it is time for this. Yes, it is our quiz of the day. It is the 20th of August and we have rounded up events in history that happened on this day, and we have created questions for two people to come on air just after 4 o'clock. It's Friday, lads. Everybody wants a holiday on a Friday. And the prize we've been giving away all week, which we're giving away today as well for the last time, it is a weekend break in the Radisson Blue Hotel and Spa in Limerick. Breakfast every morning, dinner on one of the evenings, and you can go and explore the Cliffs of Moher. You've got Bunratty Castle and Folk Park. You've got King John's Castle, Thoman Park, University of Limerick, the sports grounds there. So loads to do. Why would you not be in with a chance to win today? All you've got to do is answer this question. In which Irish county would you find the town of Athy? In which Irish county would you find the town of Athy? Give us a call on 1850 715 900. That's 1850 715 900.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Okay, keep your texts coming in to 51551. The marvellous and magnificent Maya Dunphy has made her way into Studio 7 for a chat and a cuppa. And we've already been chin wagging away
know,
there.
I know, looking at that red light came, didn't come on 5 seconds earlier. It's so nice to see you.
It is so lovely to see you.
In the flesh and your beautiful bump.
Oh, sure, look it. And I feel as big as a small country, but.
Well, you don't look it. And I'm very envious. I'd love to have gone again, but.
Would you?
I would.
So
do you know, people have that chat where they say, people, they do ask terrible questions. They go, do you not wish you'd started sooner? And like you, it's not as if I spent my 20s, living in a hole somewhere, not thinking about life. Life was different. I wanted to get in the property. I hadn't met somebody. So, I had Tom at 39. He's just turned 6.
Yes.
Over the summer. And it's just the way life works out. But, it wasn't like I was wasting my time. It was just. And also, I think either you have your kids early and get your life back in your 40s, or you have your kids later and you do all the fun stuff in your 20s and 30s. And I will never feel like I've missed out. The last year, I feel like, do you miss pubs and nightclubs? And I go, no.
And it's funny. Like, I was in Centre Parks a couple of weeks ago and I saw this couple and they had this tiny, tiny, like the baby must have only been a couple of weeks old. Aww. And I started to get a bit of a panic. I went, how do I do it? What do we do?
And it will be amazing and magical. And
It will. And sure, look it, we're so blessed.
And you look amazing.
Thank you. So come here, Tom is 6. Getting ready to go back to school.
Senior infants, yeah.
How has summer been with him? And Because I know I've on your social, you've done quite a few staycations. You guys are like little adventurers together, you and Tom.
Brilliant. Well, without risking, I don't want to get out the world's most violin. But the thing about single parenting, I mean, I've taken it all on my stride. I don't find it too difficult. Well, rarely do I find it too difficult. But there are certain times when it's highlighted. And I think things like bank holidays and summer holidays and Christmas are the times where it sort of comes to the fore. And people are talking about doing a week or two somewhere. And you're thinking, God, I don't really want to do that. So we broke down our holidays. So we did a night down in Gorey. We did two nights in Wexford. We did a few days in Galway. And then we're going to Limerick next week for two nights. So we've probably done maybe 10 days altogether. But we've divided them up. And the hotels around here are amazing. Like Centre Parks. I'm obsessed with Centre Parks.
It's great.
Not a sponsored post, but I wish it was. and we're actually going back to Centre Parks in November for a Christmas weekend.
Amazing.
A trip. I have loads of trips that I booked last year. And I said, once I've paid for stuff, I don't want the money back because, like you, I just love going places. Yeah. So just give me the credit. Just give me the credit.
And what's he like as a little traveller? Because I've just done a couple of weeks on the road with herself as well.
Yes.
And you do have those magic moments. And she's only three
she's
and a half.
Three, yeah.
But I'd imagine at six, you know, it's a lovely time to spend together because you have them out of their environment, away from a screen, or, you know, you're kind of concentrating. All you do, you're relaxed. And all you're doing is kind of concentrating on them and them on you.
Yeah. And there are so many. It's funny because now I look for very different. I used to look for a really good bar and really good spa, and now I look, is there a playground, is there a kids pool? It's all very different, but I love it because I've done all the bars and spas. I've done 20 years of bars and spas, so now it's time for, you know, playgrounds. And it's funny because we were down in, like, we were in Amber Springs and Ferrycarrig, really nice family hotels, and you see all the parents queuing for the kids club so they can dump their kids and go to the bar. And Tom and I are doing the opposite because this is going to be sick making, but I love his company. He's just great. He's like me. We got an upgrade in the last hotel. He's like, look at this room. He's like, oh my God, look at this room. He gets a real buzz from going places. And we always get the train down and we look at the hotel website before we get there. We plan what we're going to do. And he's great company. I was on a plane with him when he was 8 weeks old.
Yeah.
On my own. And that was terrifying. I was only going back from London. So he's been on like 100 flights. He hasn't gone anywhere too exotic.
And I think once you start early like that, now for some people, you know, the idea is terrifying. But I think if you do it and you kind of get over that first initial flight or the second one, it does make things easier. And I want to ask you then just about single parenting that you said there. Like, during lockdown, how was that for you? Because a couple of friends of mine found it very, very difficult, you know, trying to single parent and not have a support bubble. There's a friend of mine, her parents live in the States. And
it's very hard.
Yeah. And so when everyone was reducing contacts, everybody was scared out of their minds. Nobody was mixing. That kind of level of isolation, she found that very, very hard.
Yeah.
And reached out, actually. There was a company or a community that she went and got involved with called Frollo. Is that what it's a kind of?
It's a
single
it,
parent community.
Yeah.
And she really got an awful lot of, you know, help and assistance and kind of support through there.
Yeah.
Which I'd never heard of before.
I mean, I'm actually a total loner. And the thing about lockdown
by
is
nature.
I was as a kid. I never went on girls' holidays to Spain or group trips. I was always just, and I've always thought, God, what's wrong with me? And then you get to about 14, you go, it's just the way I am, and it's fine. So I'm okay on my own. But since having Tom, I've realised the importance of having a bubble of people and network around, because he needs friends. I don't want him to be a loner like me if he's not naturally that way inclined. So bizarrely, it had the opposite effect on me in lockdown, because I thought, you know, when you have the autonomy to choose not seeing people, it's fine. If it's taken away from you, you realise, oh, now I can't see anybody.
Yes.
And I, you know, it's all ahead of you, but when they start school and the WhatsApp groups, oh my God, it's a baptism of fire. And
with
you are
all
not,
the parents' WhatsApp
groups.
Oh,
and you
God.
Are not going to, the worst thing when someone says, oh, anyone got a school book list, and someone sends it, and then you got 27 thank yous. We know, just sit in one thank you. So just stop. And just because you've both had a baby, you know, you and another woman or a man, it doesn't mean you are going to have anything in common other than that.
Okay.
So, you know, you have to choose your friends wisely. But I've met a couple of really nice mums in the school, and one of them lives very close by. And you remember the first bit of lockdown when we were washing our groceries and, you know, pressing lift buttons with tissues and things.
It just feels like another
world. I know, but it was such an awful time. And after about 8 weeks, I was going to see my parents and standing outside their house and waving in the window, you know, doing all those things that we were told to do at the time. But this now friend of mine, Emma, she said, look, should we have a garden? And she said, do you want to come up and just have a drink in the garden? We can just keep 6 feet away. And I was like, yeah, I'd love that actually. So we did. And then we did that kind of once a week. And we kept our distance and we stayed outside. But, you know, after a while, you learned of what you could and couldn't do safely. And that was a real lifeline. Because it's funny, when the choice is taken away from you to be alone or not, you realise that maybe...
Yes.
You do need people more than you might have thought.
And so when himself goes back to
God,
school...
God, I sound miserable now, don't
I? No, not at all. Not at all. But when himself goes back to school now, you'll get your... You'll get hours back. You'll get hours in the day back to write and to work and all that.
And I'm going back to college.
Are you?
I'm doing a master's in climate change policy because I'm an idiot, Catherine.
Well done, you. Go on.
Yeah, over the last year I thought, right, I need to add another string to my bow. And because I was doing What Planet Are You On for RTE, and I am very into sustainability, have been for 20 years, I'm not just jumping on the bandwagon now, I kind of am. But I thought, what can I do that will complement the work that I've done so far? And well, actually, I'm not a natural student. I was never a natural student. And I found this course in DCU, the master's, applied for it and had to get my old degree results out of my last university.
Wow.
They were like, oh, that's from the archives. It's so long ago. And yeah, but I've paid up for the first year now. So there's
good
no
for
going
you.
Back. But I think when Tom goes back to school, structure comes back to your life a little bit.
Yes.
So you can then start juggling work. It's a part-time course. It'll be one day a week. And I'm hopefully starting a podcast with a friend of mine, and I've got a new writing project.
Are you fitting dating in the middle of all of this?
Oh, gee. You know what's funny about dating, though? Again, being a loner, people do assume that you're not really happy on your own. And somebody said to me the other week that their brother had said, why has no one snapped up Maya? I was like, oh, I sound like a bargain
God
in the middle aisle of
Aldi. She
snapped her up.
Well, my sister and the
thing is, I genuinely don't want to be snapped up, and I've been asked that a lot, and it's I don't find it flattering, but I find it reassuring that there are still people out there who are single. But I'm not really interested at the moment.
Okay. No, just even a couple of days ago, we were talking about online dating and all that comes with it, and the obstacles with lockdown and how they all present for people.
It certainly must have been a hard year for anyone who had just got into a new relationship or was looking to meet somebody, but I wasn't one of those.
Okay. I want to ask you, because No Place Like Home, yourself and your lovely dad did a little a story for us.
Did
you enjoy it?
Do you know what? It was brilliant.
Is like Benjamin Button. I was looking
at
photographs.
I don't want to say how old he is.
Okay, I was about to say.
No, I put it on social media. He's like, please stop saying that. See, my dad, like he used to be an athlete when he was younger. He's very youthful looking. His big thing is like, always stretch, stand tall, stay. He's very fit. But it's been a rough year because I haven't said this publicly, my mum was diagnosed with cancer back in January. And it's been a very rough few months, and she just had a big operation this week. So, you know, thanks
How
to everyone in Vincent's Hospital, they're so amazing. It went, think about big major surgeries, it's all about it going according to plan and no curveballs, and it did. And my mum is, oh my God, she's a warrior. And she is so stoic and so positive. But you know what's funny? Because I was talking to somebody about trolling and social media, and you know, the trolls you can spot a mile off, but sometimes you can be blindsided by a message from someone it's not intentionally malicious or nasty. And I've been spending a lot of time with my parents over the last few months because my mum's been so unwell. And I've put pictures up on Instagram. I never showed Tom's face, but him and his granddad kind of walking to the playground in the background. And so lots of my dad. And because my mum, you know, she doesn't feel like she's looking her best. So she hasn't wanted me to put pictures up.
Of course.
And this one guy messaged me, and I could tell he wasn't being in any way nasty, not intentionally. But he said, you put so many pictures up of your dad and your son. Do you not get on with your mum at all? And it cut me to the bone. Because nobody knew she was sick, and I hadn't told anybody she was sick. You know, we're quite private. But I said to her this week, can I tell people? Oh, no, she can tell people now. You know, she said, I'm going to get back on my feet soon. She's amazing, my mum. So actually that trip, No Place Like Home, came at a great time because she had a bit of energy back. She hadn't gone in for her operation yet. So she adores Tom's the only grandchild and very much the little
the
prince.
Apple of her
oh,
eye.
My God. Yeah.
And so he spent the
so
few
he
days
spent,
with her.
Yeah. And she had the energy for it. And then my dad came to, can I say where we went?
Yeah, go for
it. We went to Carrigan Shannon, and we went e-biking and paddleboarding and went to the world's quirkiest museum, and we had a great time.
When I saw the two of you in the wetsuits heading off, getting into your paddling, and you're getting into your canoes and the whole
thing. My dad didn't do that bit in the end. He said no, I better not.
He just donned the wetsuit just to get the look, was it?
He donned the wetsuit, and then he saw how light the paddleboards were. My dad's very tall, so has a higher centre of gravity, and he's super fit, but it wouldn't be good for him to fall into cold water, and that was very cold water. So I did it on my own, and I was saying to the producer, I know he's a good pal of yours, and I said, do I look like, I don't know, I was hunched because I was just terrified on this paddleboard. And Lee, the guy, said, stand up straight, just stand up straight. It's like, oh God, yeah, stand up straight. But it was just great. It was
great, have fun.
Yeah, so it worked out really well.
Well, I'm sorry to hear about your mom, but I'm also delighted that, you know, it seems to have gone well. Yeah. And
I'm a really practical person, Catherine. And the thing about cancer is, it will genuinely affect one in two or one in three of us. Most of us at some point in our life will have an experience of cancer, like very directly. And my attitude
was
is...
Was this,
you know,
your first experience of it
in
terms of somebody close to you? No, my
mum had breast cancer 25 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. And she, you know, she's again, she's just a total warrior, my mum. But, you know, and my grandmother as well, and some of my friends. I think we all, like, nobody's untouched by cancer.
Yeah.
But my attitude is, what has to be done? Like, medicine is amazing. You know, once things are caught early, it's about what has to be done and what can I do to help?
Mm.
You know, because that's what people need. Mm. They don't need people falling apart.
Exactly. And I think if you can stay focused and if you feel that, you know, you're if you can stay in that zone where you feel you're helping as well and staying positive.
Yeah. Food's a big deal in our house.
Okay.
Once I was like, once everyone's eating, it's fine. So,
yeah. And I think also it's a reminder for people sending a tweet or a message like that to you. Like, we say, think about everything before you put it online, but it's just a reminder again to be kind, isn't it?
Like, the thing is, it wasn't an unkind tweet. Oh my God, like, someone told me I should burn in hell last week for a vaccine thing I posted. But the burn in hell ones, you expect those from anonymous trolls, and you go, oh, for heaven's sake, really?
Mm. Well, you are very outspoken, which is great, which is why
I didn't think I was, really, but maybe I am. When it comes to the vaccine, I'm very pro-vaccine.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a freelancer, I'm allowed to say what I like, which is great. but there's a lot of very misinformed people out there.
Mm.
But I hope I'm always patient.
That's
a total lie. I'm not patient with people on social media.
One tweet that I did pick up on was the tweet that you sent about Sean Locke, the comedian.
Oh,
who,
Sean,
again,
yeah,
just talking about how cancer affects so many people.
Yeah.
He was 58.
I know.
And died of skin cancer, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You had met him.
I had, yeah. He would have been, Tom's dad would have been quite close to him. Like, if you were a fan of comedy and stand-up, he was one of the kings. He was just amazing. And they say never meet your heroes. And I only met him a couple of times. Once in Edinburgh, he went to a stand-up show and he went for dinner afterwards. And I had written the Mr. Tato book years ago, but I was a little bit involved with the Tato Park, with some of the kind of writing around that.
Okay.
And of course, he found out about this and he was like, Potato, what? I mean, you can imagine the hilarity of just taking the almighty mick out of me for the entire night. And you go, Maya, was there a potato waltz? I was like, no, there's no, but you don't understand. It's an institution. And you couldn't believe that the Irish would open a potato theme park. But it was just, but the nice thing about him was, and I've met a lot of comedians in my time, a lot who I really admired, and some of them are not easy to be around.
Mm.
Or they have very little interest in you and they're looking over your shoulder for somebody more important or funnier.
Mm.
But Sean, the two times I met him, he was one of those people who would always ask you how you were and was very interested in you and just very, very funny.
And you got that from all of the messages and tweets and stuff that I was reading, that people were just like, he was a really lovely guy, a really down-to-earth guy.
So yeah, I feel so awful for his wife and kids.
Yeah.
He was a real family man too, by all accounts.
Well, let's talk about what is making you laugh at the moment, because these conversations
move on from all the misery.
No, but it's because it's important, I suppose, and you do this, I think, very well. Like, you always remember, like, to look at the positives as well when you can, and as you said, you're quite practical. So during these chats with my mates, the coffee and cake chats, we'd be like, what's made you laugh, what's pissed you off, what's made you upset? So what's making you laugh at the moment?
What's making me laugh? I tell you what, I had loads of laughs with my dad on your show, No Place Like Home. We had so much fun. It was brilliant.
When was the last time you'd spent time together, just the two of you?
We couldn't even remember.
Mm.
I can't remember, which is awful, because like, even when you were kids, like, you know, when I was one of three kids, so you didn't do stuff on your own with your dad. Like, he took me for a drink after my Leaving Cert results.
Okay.
And my mum was there too. He took me for a drink. Oh, when I signed for my apartment, he took me for a drink.
Okay.
On our, that, but we don't do stuff on our own, really. I
so
mean,
precious.
Like, we've gone for walks and stuff, but we certainly haven't gone on holiday together on our own. So that was great. And then, do you know what? Ted Lasso. Let's discuss Ted Lasso for a sec. Have you watched it on Apple TV?
No, I haven't.
Oh my God.
I'm so behind on my Netflix binges. It's not even funny.
Well, that is as well as my son and his mates acting the maggot. I took them to the cinema, actually, my son and his friend Kieran, yesterday to see Space Jam. We got there just in time. I was dying for a wee. I thought, is it safe to leave them in the cinema just for 10 seconds while I go to the loo? And then Kieran said, please don't leave us on our own. So I sit there But anyway, that's
so you couldn't concentrate.
No. So yeah, Ted Lasso is making me laugh.
Okay. And what would you say you've learned most about yourself over the last year and a half?
I never learn anything about myself, Catherine. I make the same mistakes over and over again, and I'll never change.
Well, but you probably know what I learned have? That you're not as much of a loner
yeah,
as you thought you were.
Yeah, that is the big thing, yeah. And I intend to be far more sociable over the next year.
Okay.
Terms and conditions apply. Please don't DM me. Thank you.
Maya Dunphy, it is a pleasure as always. Lovely to see you.
And, thank you so much.
Wishing you health and happiness to your mom, your entire family.
Thanks, Catherine.
And yeah,
and to your
yourself.
Lovely bump.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh.
That is Royals there. Text coming in here. I was just chatting to Maya, in case you've joined us now. Just chatting to Maya Dunphy there before the tune. That could literally be me on the radio. Single mom, love the company of my son. I love Lego, video games and superheroes like him. I'm starting a part-time course in September and I love my own company. And I'm happy in my life, so have absolutely no desire to add anyone else to it. So great to hear it from someone else, as I thought I was odd. There you go. I just always think she's such a breath of fresh air. All right. Is it over? Can it be over? Is it nearly over? Yes, Love Island is finishing up on Monday evening. It has occupied the minds, evenings and WhatsApp groups of many of my colleagues here in RTE, but it is finally all coming to an end. Orla Condon is a journalist and presents an almost daily podcast called My Pod on Paper, the unofficial Love Island podcast. And she joins me now from a booth down the corridor. Orla, how are you doing? Happy Friday.
Hi, Catherine. Happy Friday. This is a very safe distance we're at we here.
Are we are very socially distant, but I can hear you loud and clear.
Perfect.
And so you'll have to just imagine my looks of confusion.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask you, because obviously I've been very honest and open. I have tried to watch Love Island. Mm-hmm. I cannot get into it.
No one would blame you this year, Catherine. No one
so
would blame you this
year. So That's what I'm hearing. So say generally, what is the appeal of the show? You know, as somebody like somebody who's not an avid Love Island fan, what's the appeal?
I mean, it's different for everyone. There is that base level appeal that kind of everyone thinks of, that it's beautiful people in the sunshine wearing gorgeous bikinis and getting off with other people, and it's all that base level stuff. But there's lots of other levels to the show that are really engaging. And for me, it brings it back to the kind of need to be all at the same place at the same time watching the same thing, and you're waiting for the ad breaks and then you have to wait for it to come back. And that hasn't been my viewing experience of television with really anything for quite a long time, with streaming services and all the rest. Love Island is really one of the only shows that me and my friends and my colleagues watch, where you are kind of, there's a demand for you to be there at the same time, and if you miss it, you miss it. So it's very much an event, and definitely it feeds into that Twitter commentary, which can be really fun and engaging, and the memes and all that stuff. And it's always nice to be part of a community discussion like that on social media, which I enjoy. And it also throws up bigger discussions. And this year we've seen a lot of them as well. You know, issues about gaslighting and, verbal abuse and all this kind of stuff that you don't expect from a show like this that is seemingly
quite... And has there been more of that this year, particularly?
Yeah. It's hard to know. I think usually these conversations are ever present with the show, and they definitely are a part of the discussion around it. But there's also a lot of filler content. There's also a lot of really nice, fun stuff, cool games and nice people and great crack and all that stuff. This year, we haven't had that light to kind of match the shade. And it's made it quite a difficult slog for a lot of longtime fans like myself who've been watching it for years. You know, usually this time of the year, especially with the podcast, you're kind of heading into that kind of, oh God, it'll be sad to see it go now, and we won't be having the chats every night. But I am very, very excited for Monday night now to kind of pack it up after this season and put her away for a year.
Because it's like the show is on six nights a week on the box. There have been 53 episodes so far, and you've done 39 podcast episodes. So that's kind of every second night or every third night. You are basically going live after the show and you're chatting about it. That is a big undertaking.
Yeah, I know. It's really embarrassing, isn't it? Now that you've listed it out like that, it's quite embarrassing.
But it's some achievement. And especially, I suppose, I mean, so be honest, will you be doing it next year?
I honestly don't know. I really don't, because I'm very happy to debate the values and merits of this show with anyone, and I very much understand the criticism and the reasons people do and don't watch it. And I enjoy that discourse, and I really do enjoy being like, well, look, this is my point of view on the show, and I totally understand if you still think it's trash. But this year, I just feel a lot of those pros that I could normally list just weren't as present, and I just feel like that kind of conversation around duty of care, which has been an ever-present conversation for the last number of years for very obvious and, you know, real reasons, has just kind of overshadowed everything else. And it just feels like, for me as a person who likes to think about the kind of cogs and wheels behind these shows and the production behind it and what ITV's motives might be for certain things.
That's where I think have the problem with it, because there has been so much toxic history. There have been multiple suicides, and there is when I hear people talk about stories, it's so highly produced to provoke, outbursts and outbreaks. And so I just think they're trying to make television that has to be entertaining, but there's such a fine line.
Yeah.
And I think that I find difficult. Now, I'm saying it as somebody who hasn't watched it, but.
No, I absolutely agree. And definitely there is that kind of two sides of the coin of, you know, how do you provoke enough so that it's engaging and entertaining, but also minding people who are very vulnerable to an edit and to a situation that is outside of their control. And this year, it just feels like that balance hasn't been struck maybe as well as it has in previous years. And I mean, Faye, I presume you've probably seen the headlines with the Ofcom complaints and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they've had 25,000 Ofcom complaints. And that, so for people, describe what happened there or explain what happened to merit those complaints.
Yeah, so it was after the Casa Amor twist, which sees the boys and girls split up for a couple of nights and they get introduced to a bunch of new boys and a bunch of new girls to kind of test their relationship. And it usually is the turning point in the season. Lots of drama, lots of fallout, and people are very excited about it. And definitely this year, because it was such a slow start, people were really eager for Casa Amor. And Faye was in a relationship with Teddy going into Casa Amor, and Teddy, in fairness to him, behaved very well in Casa Amor, but did have one or two conversations with a girl over there saying, you know, he felt sexually attracted to her and all this kind of stuff, but didn't.
So flirty, but didn't play offside.
Flirty, but absolutely, absolutely, definitely stayed within the bounds. That kind of came back to bite him. And then there was a game where they showed clips from the last kind of 6 weeks in the villa or whatever it was, and they showed a clip of Teddy having that conversation with that girl in Casa Amor, and Faye just lost it. And, you know, her behaviour was completely out of line, and there definitely was, you know, merit to people saying she should be removed. But also it was, you know, ITV provoked that situation and then aired it for 50 minutes. It was a full episode of her just unravelling.
Her just losing it. Okay.
Yeah, and that's when it becomes for me a problem. And there's a lot of people still, this is 3 weeks ago, and still are very, very aggressive in their feeling towards Faye. And I'm okay with people not liking characters on the show, but Faye is definitely someone who is at risk coming out of this, because it's just so venomous.
And are they missing? I mean, again, I don't know the characters, but you always, like, you know, in terms of the stereotypes, you'd have, you know, the fun ones and the intense ones. Like, are they missing, say, a Maura Higgins type person in the villa this year who always brought that sort of humour and deadpan and kind of kept it a bit crack?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I mean, we really didn't know how good. Maura's like a solar eclipse, you know. Once you see her, you got to really appreciate it, because she was just such a singular type of character. And I can imagine the producers were just like jackpot when they sent her in. She was meant to be a Casa Amor bombshell, so she was meant to be sent in with a group of women, and they said, no, she's too strong, send her in kind of on her own or with one other earlier in the season. And she just made it. I mean, she saved that season. It was really on its knees at the start. So, but she's so singular, it's hard to have another person like her. But definitely you are missing those kind of comedic characters, and it's only in the last couple of weeks we're seeing that from some Islanders who earlier in the season were being painted as something totally different. So it just shows you the power of the edit as well, when you see these characters all of a sudden almost change right in front of you.
Absolutely. Well, look, it remains to be seen what happens up until Monday night, and then what happens coming into next year. And I think that's it. People will say it's a bit lackluster, but a year or a couple of months away and everybody's looking forward to it again. But listen, Orla Condon, you deserve a break.
Send me into the villa now for 8 weeks to chill out.
Lovely chatting to you. Thanks a million, Orla. Back after this.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Garmahogat, Seamus, we were talking about little rituals that we do in the house before we go away. Mick and Annette, I always remember to turn off the immersion. Oh, you have to turn off the immersion. Before heading back to the US, my cousin Mags in Mullingar is the same. It's very smoky here in Utah due to the fires in California. Wow, guys, stay safe. And thanks for listening in from the States. I always put fresh sheets on the bed and I blitz the place before I leave. Bins emptied and washed and the house smelling of various aromas of disinfectant and cleaning products. Always empty and clean the fridge and the cupboard so you don't return to mould. Yes, I'm exhausted going on holidays, says Sonia. Yes, sounds like it, Sonia. Somebody else, my holiday horror, I left a half open cat food pouch in a cupboard for 2 weeks in the summer a few years back. Came back to the cupboard full of maggots and bluebottles. Oh, not a nice way to come home. Lots of dishwasher things still coming in. A dishwasher is so important that it should be placed first on a site and the house built around it, says one person. My problem with the dishwasher is the unloading, not the stacking. Himself unloads from the top. Need I say any more, said Phil. Phil, I'm a top loader. I unload from the top. Makes perfect sense to me. Barry says, Catherine, I have a dishwasher. Where did I lose that? Maybe I've deleted it. Barry here. I have a dishwasher since 2003. It's 18 years old and I've never used it. I mean, not once. Well, I do live on my own, so that might explain it. Well, there you go, Barry. If you've lasted this long without it, I wouldn't. Don't go changing it up now. All right, it's time for this. It is our quiz of the day and we have got two very excited ladies who are ready to do battle to win a nice weekend at the Radisson Blue Hotel and Spa in Limerick. As I said, weekend stay, breakfast every morning, dinner on one of the evenings, and you can take your pick of day trips out to the Cliffs of Moher or out to Bunratty Castle in Folk Park or King John's Castle. Go shopping maybe. It's a great city for sports fans as well, with Thomond Park and the Gaelic grounds there as well. So to find out more about the Radisson Group, all you've got to do is log on to inewa.ie. And it will tell you everything you need to know. So, playing for that fabulous prize today are Mary Parkinson and Anne Cummins. Good afternoon, ladies.
Good afternoon, Catherine.
Happy Friday. Mary, you are contestant number one, so I'm going to start with you. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Old Town in County Dublin.
Lovely. And are you dodging the rain?
Dodging the rain, yeah.
Good, good for you. So, what's the plan for the weekend?
No plans. No, we're still on holidays this week. We had a few days in Wexford and a few days in Belmullet.
Oh, well, that is exactly. I'm turning the car and I'm heading. Where were you in Mayo?
Well, I'm originally from Carrigtig.
Oh, beautiful part of the world.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
So we stay there. Yeah.
Blacksod Bay is where we are tomorrow, which again, it's beautiful. They've the lighthouse there. They've opened a new visitor centre in it as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. So you had a few days back home.
Yeah, we had a few days back home and we actually visited the lighthouse.
Oh, very good.
Tour while we were there. Yeah, it's absolutely lovely.
Brilliant. Brilliant. So have you had a staycation in Limerick recently?
No, we haven't.
OK. All right. Well, stay on the line. And I'm going to go to Anne, who is in Dublin, by all accounts. How are you, Anne?
I'm great, Catherine. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
I love Friday.
Who doesn't love
Friday?
A Friday?
I know.
How has the week been for you?
Oh, my God. A mental week. I celebrated my 60th birthday the other day.
Good. So I congratulations.
Just mad since last Friday. I was whisked off to a surprise gathering with some friends and family to Sligo last weekend by my daughters. That was fabulous.
Brilliant.
Absolutely gorgeous. Didn't know anything about it. And then celebrating since then, Catherine, as you do.
Oh, and have they been spoiling you rotten?
Spoiled rotten. Absolutely. The best. I always say I'm so lucky. I've great friends and I've the best family. So I'm very lucky.
Go on.
Very
did you
lucky.
Get any nice prezzies?
I got lovely. I made a little list. Because, and I know that sounds mad, and I got lots of stuff off the list, like perfume that I wanted. I want, as I turned 60, I said, I want to go into the sea. So they bought me one of those dry robes that I know people give out about, but I wanted one of those because I'd be so self-conscious about going down to the sea. And things like that, things that I wanted, new earphones for when I'm out walking, and just lots of really nice and money to do stuff for myself. So yeah,
good for you. Good for you. That sounds like a gorgeous week.
Loads of Prosecco.
Loads of Prosecco, sure. I mean, that's a given. That's a given. And are you working at the moment? Well, obviously you weren't. You haven't done a tap this week with all that celebration.
I've done nothing this week. I have two little jobs. I'm a school traffic warden, which I adore because I'm working with all the little kids starting
you
school.
You people are amazing.
I love it, Catherine. I'm so lucky. And then from there, I go to work with a different age group and I work with Meals on Wheels services, which I love as well.
Fantastic.
So I'm very lucky.
Fantastic. You love your work by the sounds of it.
I love it.
And let's see, can we finish the birthday in style? it will be a good one. Now, Mary and Anne, do you want to wish each other the best of luck?
The very best of luck, Mary. And I'm happy just to be talking on the radio.
Good woman yourself, Anne. All right, here we go. Mary, this is your first question. On this day in 1955, anti-French rioting broke out across Morocco. On what continent would you find Morocco?
Africa.
Is the right answer. Good woman, Mary. Take a big, deep sigh of relief. You're on the cards. Anne, this is your first question. On this day in 2018, Venezuela issued a new currency in an attempt to stop runaway hyperinflation. On what continent would you find Venezuela?
South America.
That's it. We're neck and neck, ladies. Mary, take a listen to this. Okay, Mary, on this day in 1943, Sylvester McCoy, Scottish actor, was born in Dunoon. He played the title role in that sci-fi series. Can you name it?
Doctor Who?
Well done, Mary. Good woman. Anne, back to you. Here's your clip. Okay, Anne, on this day in 1966, Courtney Gibbs, American actress, was born in Dallas, Texas. She appeared in that TV drama show about lifeguards. Can you name it?
Baywatch.
That's it. You'll have a starring role, Anne, with your new dry robe. You'll be doing your own Baywatch next week. Mary, back to you. On this day in 1975, Viking 1 was launched to orbit around Mars. Which of these planets is larger than Mars? Is it Mercury or Neptune?
Neptune.
Well done, Mary. Fair play to you. All right, Anne, back to you. On this day in 1977, NASA launched Voyager 2 towards Uranus. Which of these planets is larger than Uranus? Is it Saturn or Venus?
I actually don't know, so it's a guess. I'm going to say Venus.
It's the wrong answer, Anne, unfortunately. It was only going to go one way or the other. No, yeah. Not to worry. Okay, Mary, back to you. Take a listen to this. Okay, Mary, on this day in 2013, This Is Us, a 3D concert film of that group, premiered in London. Can you name the group?
One Direction.
You are on fire today, Mary. Well done. That's 4 out of 4. Okay, Anne, over to you. Take a listen to this. No. Okay, Anne, that song, No Matter What, was at number one on this day in 1998. Can you name the group?
Boyzone.
Well done.
I love them. They're brilliant.
Do you love them? Fabulous. And you heard Westlife. Are you a Westlife fan as well? They've got their new album.
I love Westlife as well.
New album out very recently, I think, this week, wasn't it?
Yes.
Oh, it's cooking. It's cooking. Niamh is correcting me there. But Westlife, new album on its way. Okay, Mary, if you get this right, you are the winner today. All right?
Okay.
Okay, here we go. On this day in 1992, rock star Sting married Trudy Styler in Wiltshire, England. In what year was Sting born? Was it 1951, 1955, or 1959? Need an answer,
51.
Mary? Is the right answer!
Yay, Mary, well Yay! Done. Thank you. Well done. That's fantastic.
5 out of 5, Mary Ann. There was no way you were going to catch her at that point.
But thank you so much for having me on. I'm absolutely delighted.
Listen,
it's
been a pleasure chatting to you. And we're going to send you, to add to all of those birthday presents, a Ray Darcy Show mug.
Fantastic. Thank you.
All right. Enjoy the rest of
Thanks
the celebrations,
a million.
Anne.
Bye.
Nice chatting to you.
Bye.
Mary, you are off to Limerick. You are off for a weekend to the Radisson Blue. Do you think you'll be taking it sometime soon, or are you going to hold it until maybe later on?
Sometime soon. It was my birthday on Monday too.
Ah, fabulous.
So it's my birthday week.
Ah, well, listen, congratulations. And what a lovely birthday present. Who are you going to take with you?
I'm going to have to take my husband, Mark, and maybe my daughter, Aisling, as well.
Fabulous. Well, listen, happy birthday. Enjoy it and have a lovely weekend.
Thank you very much, Catherine.
Well done.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, I had great crack earlier in the week having a chat with Bill Murray, who is doing a tour of Ireland's golf clubs in a minibus with all of his family, on a lad's tour. We think he's in Enniscrone today. It's a bit like Where's Wally? You kind of never know where he's going to turn up. But anyway, on the back of that, we said we'd play some Sligo music, some Irish music, but particularly Sligo music. And this band, Clare Sands, they're from Enniscrone, featuring Brigitte Jean. This is Intoc Ve Bio. That is Sligo band Clare Sands there featuring Brigitte Jean, and good boppy track as well. Alright, That's Animal is a brand new family series from RTE Junior Radio made with the assistance of Dublin Zoo and its staff. Zookeeper Brendan Walsh is the host as he brings kids behind the scenes at Dublin Zoo to meet the animals, and he's in studio with me now. Lovely to see you, sir.
Thanks very much, Catherine. Thanks for having us on.
So tell us, where did the idea of the podcast come from?
I think in some ways it's a bit to do with lockdown. I was listening to more shows than ever.
Yeah.
And you know, having a young 4-year-old, life is busy, and I wasn't getting to watch as much TV as I would have years ago. So I was loving listening to podcasts, the likes of Mooney Goes Wild and The Critter Shed, and any podcast to do animals, really. And I'm a bit of a talker, as anyone that knows me will know. And I kind of thought it might be a nice way to go. My wife Dee encouraged me to consider it. So I got talking to an old schoolmate of mine who was in that field, and then he suggested approaching RTE, and away it went from there. So since November, I was scribbling out notes and brainstorming ideas, and I've got a mini library at home of books, and obviously, you know, the experience I've had, be lucky enough to have with animals over the years, and I tried to apply that.
And I mean, you see the reaction from children working in the zoo, what they get out of it. So what did you want kids to get out of the podcast?
Hopefully, you know, inspiration be one thing. And like every day, including today, now this morning, meeting kids, meeting families that are crazy for animals. They're mad for animals. They want to learn more and more and more. And the great thing about animals is, like, I could study, learn 1,000 facts every day about animals, and I'm still never going to get close to what the full amount is. There's so much to learn about animals, and there's literally thousands of crazy facts that seem to contradict what you think might be. And so I'm hoping that some of the podcasts will be that will challenge some of the beliefs we already have about animals that might not be true, or to bring in new information we have about animals, because we're learning about animals, new information about animals every day. Yeah.
So what's the maddest animal fact that you have?
The maddest one for me is the fact that hippos cannot swim. You know, I've said this on tours in the zoo, and a keeper talks in the zoo, and the visitors often look at me as if like, is he all right in the head? You know, you're just thinking, but basically it's the joy of evolution. Like they don't swim because it benefits them. You know, when they move in the water, they're kicking with their feet, and basically they naturally sink, which keeps them nice and cool during the day in the African heat of and all through southern and central Africa.
So they don't swim, they're running along the bottom?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
So if you were to, you know, if somehow if a hippo was to end up in the middle of the Atlantic, the poor fella or girl would drown. So they literally cannot swim. But again, it's for a good reason. It's to keep them deep in the water, to keep them cool, and also to help them feed from, okay, from the plants in the water, and also when they go out and land at night time as well.
God, that beats my one. My one was, the one I was most struck by was cows sleep standing up, but they dream lying down. Are you going to correct me?
I don't know the exact facts on that, but funny if I did do a paper on elephant sleep,
okay,
and that would probably relate to cows are hoof stock, and they sleep very lightly because they need to move if a predator arrives. Obviously, cows are domesticated thousands of years now, but that instinct wouldn't have gone.
Okay.
They still have that protective instinct. So if they lie down to sleep, obviously they need to be, it's called hemisphere sleeping. So that basically half their brain is still awake, still alert. So animals like dolphins and a lot of hoofstock, deer and things like that, they have to keep alert because a predator could turn up at a millisecond and cause them some serious problems.
I love the fact that you've been, like, how long have you been a zookeeper?
A zookeeper about 20 years, and I started in the zoo 25 years ago.
Okay. And yeah, you're still learning every day.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, in probably a lot of industries, it's the same thing, isn't it? You keep learning, and, you know, I love learning. I get magazines every month, and now with podcasts, there's a podcast out probably 2-3 times a week that will give you new information. And I love that. And hopefully, you know, That's Animal Podcast will be the same for lots of people.
Okay, well, the first podcast features Sive and Rosa. It's all about elephants. So let's hear a clip.
We're walking along the forest trail at the zoo. We've just come around the corner and the first thing we can see is elephants.
I can see two and they're both in love. Because they're both kissing each other. One of them has to put their leg over them and then just put their trunk against the other one's back and use it around and then like...
The elephant is swishing its tail around.
So there is one of our elephants calling now. And actually what's interesting about the calling of the elephants is most calls the elephants make we don't hear because our ears don't hear infrasound.
Wow. Sive and Rosa are on the line. How you doing, girls?
Good.
Yeah. What was it like being in the zoo when there was nobody else there?
It was amazing because we got to go in lockdown. There was just no one there. It was really quiet and yeah.
And could you hear, did all the animals seem really loud then?
They were pretty loud. It was amazing.
You learned something interesting about elephant poo. Tell us all.
Yeah. So they give the elephants different coloured glitter in their food so that in their poo you can see the different coloured glitter and see if they're pregnant or not.
Wow. Well, I don't think I'll be trying that, but that sounds very interesting. Sive, you also like the oryx. Some people might not know what an oryx is. What is it?
Well, it's a little bit like a deer, but it's not really because it has antlers, but they're long and they're really long and spiky kind of.
Okay. And is Rosa there with you? Do you want to pass the phone to her?
Yeah.
Or can she hear? Hi, Rosa.
Hi.
Rosa, what age are you?
I'm 6.
6. And what was your favourite thing about the elephants? Are you still there, Rosa? Did you like the fact that they had a big trunk?
What?
What was your favourite thing about the elephants?
What was my favourite thing about the elephants?
Maybe try this one. What was your favourite animal in the whole zoo?
Their finger.
Their, the thing on the elephant's trunk, which was their thing, which they had a little finger on.
Oh, okay. So they have, Brendan, you're going to explain that to us.
So with Asian elephants, at the very tip of the trunk, they have what we call a finger. It's basically a point at the top of the trunk. And then in the African elephant, they have the two fingers. So Sive and Rosa love pointing out that the elephants were able to pick up food and branches and that when they were with us.
Okay. And girls, tell me about the gorillas, because they got very excited to see you. And you both got to try and eat gorilla food. I think I've... Are you there, girls? Can you hear me, Sive? Oh, no, they've gone too shy. Give us the lowdown. What happened, Brendan?
Yeah, so we brought them up to the gorillas, and they're good fruit and veg eaters, but mostly veg. It's only fruit to be a very small part of the diet. So if I remember correctly, I think they crunched on some of the carrots for the gorillas, and some of the apples for the elephants, which I thought was fair play to them. They weren't worried about, you know, but obviously it's very fresh, perfectly good food coming in. It's the same stuff that goes to the supermarkets. But I thought fair play, they were crunching down as we were walking around, because obviously we'd know cafes aren't open when they're in. So so fair play, they catered for themselves.
Well, listen, walking around the zoo is a lot easier than doing radio interviews, clearly, for the girls. But nice chatting to you today, ladies. Have a great weekend. And Brendan, tell us where people can hear the podcast.
They can find it on the RT Junior Radio app.
Yep.
And wherever else they get they can download their apps from.
Yep.
And also on RT Junior Radio on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m.
Happy days. And it's called That's Animal. That is all we've got time for today. That is all from me for the last couple of weeks. Thank you for keeping me company. I've really enjoyed being on with you. Cormac is on his way with Drive Time. I am off to Belmullet, lads. Have a great weekend and see you soon.
It's the Ray Dasher Show on RT Radio 1.